you. Bow your heads, please. Father, without you, we can do nothing. But with you, we can do all things as the Lord strengthens us. So we come to you before this word, and we ask that you would open our ears, open our eyes, open our understanding, that your Spirit may rule and reign in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, as I was crying out to the Lord and saying, what is it that you're up to this morning? What would you like to put across? And he gave me seven things. So I'm going to run these through and give you a little bit of thinking to see ourselves. When do these in my life meet my expectations? So now we've talked about a young lady who lost her dad because of an argument. When do these in my life meet my expectations? Well, when they react like me in the midst of a trial. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
When they hardly notice when I did it wrong. Ooh, I didn't have to wait for that one, huh? When they prefer me over everyone else.
Amen.
When they let me have my way, and it costs me nothing.
Amen.
When I am resting and no one expects anything from me.
Amen.
Somebody really took a deep breath on that one. How many of you took a deep breath on that one? Okay. When they lay down their life and serve me. This is true love, isn't it? It's true love of who? No, it's true love of me. No. Those questions are about me, myself, and I. But did you notice how well they fit?
No. They could have been him, but it's about us.
Uh-huh. Now close your eyes and listen to them again. When do these in my life meet my expectations? When they react like me in any trial. When they hardly notice when I did it wrong. When they prefer me over everyone else. When they let me have my way and it costs me nothing. When I am resting and no one expects anything from me. And when they lay down their lives and serve me. This is true love of self. True love of self. Now, if you remember, Peter had a real attitude with the Lord when the Lord said, I'm about to be betrayed. Anybody remember that? Peter thought he had it all together. Amen? How many know Peter was in love with number one? Did he know it? No. Did he really understand who he was loving?
No.
But Jesus did. And he gave him a heads up. He said, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times.
Now, let's be honest. Do you think that was good news for Peter?
No.
I think Peter was quite upset.
In fact, he even argued with the Lord. But I want to take you to John chapter 21. John 21, verse 1. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat. Just that night, they caught nothing. Verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. I want you to stress that reality. They didn't realize it was Jesus. There are times that you're not going to realize Jesus in the midst of your difficulty. You're going to see the selfish part of you. You're going to see the selfish part of every person around you. Not being aware that Jesus is there. Not recognizing him in the middle of it. Okay? It's a setup. Okay? Verse 5, he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Did John have a revelation of his eyes, or did he recognize by words? By words. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say it, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garments around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. Did you notice that Peter reacted? John didn't. What was he trying to do when he jumped in the water? I think he was trying to hide his nakedness. He was about to be exposed and he could feel it. How many of you have ever been in that space where Jesus is showing up and you didn't expect him to be in the midst of it, and all of a sudden you feel very self-conscious? Is he there with a stick? He's not there with a stick. He's there and he's cooking breakfast. If you've worked all night, would you imagine that you might be hungry in the morning? I mean, of all people to show up and make breakfast to a guy who's denied the Lord, would you call that love? Yeah. Is our Savior selfish thinking about himself? Is he expecting Peter
to come up with breakfast. Is he expecting someone to disturb him?
Not really. But Peter hasn't got a clue about what's coming. And that's usually the truth with us.
We are being set up by the one who loves us more than we realize.
Verse 7. The disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garments around him, for he had taken them off, jumped into the water, and the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" So had he changed his countenance? Or was he recognizable? He had changed his countenance. None of them dared ask because they knew inside their hearts. They knew it within. There are times you're going to know in the midst of what you're going through that Jesus is with you in the boat, in the water, even when you're the one that's got the breakfast. He's got the fire going already. They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. I think it's very important to know that it was the third time. And Peter has not yet been confronted, has he? He still thinks he got away with betraying him. And Jesus finally forgot. Anybody relate? And did you think maybe that the guy who created us has a short memory? Is he really interested in making us wiggle and squirm? Or has he got a better plan? See, there's one thing that never fails, and that's love. Love never notices when you did it wrong. And the one who gave up his life for you and me was treating Peter as an example so we could see ourselves. Because there's a little bit of Peter in every one of us. There's a little bit of selfishness in every single one of us. And we don't always see it as clearly. But when we look at Peter, we have hope. Verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, notice they finished breakfast. They finished breakfast. Peter's not weak anymore. He's finally got some vitality. His body is coming back to life. He's been working all night, got some fish into him now, and here comes Papa. All right? Simon, son of John,
Do you truly love me more than these? Why do you think he uses the word more than these? You better ponder on that. Because I don't think there's any specific answer that's going to fit. But Peter accepts it and says, yes, Lord. He said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Lambs are babies. They have no energy of their own. They have no capacity. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Sheep are getting a little bit older, a little more rambunctious, like maybe teenagers. Now, none of you know how teenagers behave because you probably forgot. I could give you a few reminders. How many know, see, the most selfish season of your life is teenage years? That's why everybody and everything totally surrounds a teenage child. It's all about them. Don't disturb their bubble. They're spoiled.
Who spoiled them?
Huh? Huh?
We spoiled them.
Yep. It's your fault. Now you're praying that they'll wake up, huh?
Oh, sure I am.
Verse 17. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciples whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper, and he said, Lord, who is going to betray you? And when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want you to remain alive until I return, what is it to you? You must follow me. And I could go on. My message, hopefully, is going to give you courage about how selfish we can be, and still Jesus lets us get away with it. How motivated on number one I can be, and Jesus does not throw us away. That's love. It's an example of how we should treat those that we love. It's an example of how we should be patient for those who are betraying us. Can anybody relate? It's going to be a work of grace and mercy that's going to keep you and me going. Because now we have something to go by. A brother in Christ, namely Peter. So if you've never failed, welcome to the club. I'm perfect too. If you believe that one, I'll give you another one. But if you're imperfect, you'll fit right into this church. Because we're the perfect church for those who aren't perfect.
Look at your neighbor. Say, this is the perfect church.
This is the perfect church.
For those who aren't perfect.
So I'm thinking.
You qualify.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes we think we're so perfect. And that perfection brings out a stench. But Jesus isn't going to accuse you of how smelly you are. He's going to be full of compassion, full of grace, full of mercy. And he's going to continue to step up and make breakfast for you when you least expect it. Close your eyes. Say, Father, let this word,
reverberate my heart.
Strengthen me.
And make me holy.
Because it's your job. I've tried.
I've failed.
And he still loves me.
Amen?
Share some hugs with each other.